Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kalpataru Power Transmission Limited and GMC Projects Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Nair.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q3 FY22 earnings call. Q3 FY22 earnings call, Kalpataru Power Transmission Limited and GMC Projects. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Manish Mohnot, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Amit Uplenchwar, Director, Group Strategy and Subsidiary Operations, Mr. Ram Patodia, President, Finance and CFO, and Mr. S.K. Tripathi, Managing Director and CEO. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Manish Mohnot for his initial remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
To you for attending this earnings call of KPTL and GMC. I hope that you're all staying safe and healthy. Let me begin by talking about key updates and then cover our performance in the quarter. We have delivered robust performance at consolidated level with top line growth of 11%, stable EBITDA margins, notable drop in the net debt levels, and record order inflows despite a challenging operating environment. Commodity prices and freight costs continue to remain at elevated levels, leading to pressure on profitability. We have achieved divestment of Kohima Mariamman Transmission and received sale consideration in December 2021. With this, we have completed divestment of all T&D BOOT assets. We continue to widen our international reach and have added three new countries during the year. We've also strengthened our market position in some of our focus business verticals as we acquire new clients and demonstrate our strong capabilities. Coming to road BOOT assets, we have provided for shortfall in termination payment and expected credit loss for Kurukshetra to an amount aggregating rupees 86 crores in this quarter. However, we will continue to pursue the claims and termination payment against NHAI. Our total provision in KEPL for Q2 and Q3 is at 364 crores. We have also received consent from lenders for restructuring on Wainganga Road BOOT asset, and we hope to close administrative formalities by March 2022. The deal for sale of Vindhyachal Road asset is still under discussion. The terms are under negotiations at this stage. Our sales in Indore project is gaining traction with additional bookings and inquiries. Till date, we have completed sale of 45% of the total sellable area. We plan to complete the sale of balance units in the next 12-15 months. We have received orders of over 14,300 crores at a consolidated level during the year and have an additional relevant position of rupees 5,300 crores. Coming now to the financial performance, first at a KPTL consolidated level. Our consolidated revenue grew by 11% to rupees 3,889 crores on back of strong execution in B&F, water and international T&D subsidiaries. Our EBITDA margin Q3 was 9.3% at a consolidated level. Our EBITDA margins remain under pressure with elevated level of commodity freight and other input prices. Our exceptional items in Q3 2022 include the following: gain on sale of KMTL of rupees 262 crores, value of fixed assets of Shishupam written down by 22 crores, an amount aggregating to 86 crores for shortfall in termination payment and expected credit loss for Kurukshetra Express Private Limited. Our decline in EBITDA and exceptional items has led to fall in PBT impact. Our consolidated net debt is at rupees 2,044 crores, which is a decline of 13% compared to last year and 27% compared to previous quarter. Now at a standalone KPTL level, our revenue for Q3 was affected due to lower dispatches in T&D business and lower order inflows in the first six months of the year. T&D revenues, including Linjemontage and Fasttel, grew by around 17%. Decline in oil and gas was around 30% and railways around 7% in Q3 2022. Our subsidiaries in Sweden, Linjer Montage, reported revenue of 364 crores, with growth of 13%, and Fasttel Brazil recorded revenue of 139 crores in Q3 2022. We were able to maintain an EBITDA margin of 9.1% in Q3 2022 and 9.5% for 9 months 2022. Our exceptional item in Q3 2022 pertains to gain on sale of KNGL. Our lower revenue growth and fall in EBITDA margin has led to fall in PBT impact. At a standalone level, our net debt has declined by around 600 crores in Q3 2022 to rupees 547 crores at the end of December 2021, largely on account of inflows from sale of KNGL. KPTL received orders of rupees 4,364 crores till date in 2022, including new orders of 803 crores secured in month of January and February. Additionally, we have L1 of approximately 4,000 crores. We expect to convert most of this L1 orders in the next few months. Our standalone order book at the end of December 2021 was rupees 12,646 crores. Now for standalone JMC numbers. At JMC, revenue grew by 26% to 1,348 crores in Q3 2022, driven by robust execution in B&F and water business. JMC's EBITDA margin was at 9% in Q3 2021. We expect margin to improve going forward as most of the projects have price escalation provisions in JMC. JMC has provided for an amount aggregating to 88 crores for shortfall and termination payment and expected credit loss for KEPL. As communicated earlier on the call, we have adopted a prudent approach and booked these losses upfront while we continue to pursue our claims with NHAI. Our net debt at JMC was rupees 603 crores at the end of December 2021, with a decline of around 100 crores from previous quarter, despite a robust growth in turnover. JMC received order inflows of rupees 9,984 crores till date in 2022, and order book is at all-time high of 19,192 crores at the end of December 2021. Let me now conclude with the outlook. We expect the consolidated revenues to grow in the range of 10%-15% for full year 2022, with JMC expected to deliver revenue growth in excess of 20%. Our EBITDA margins will continue to remain under pressure. We expect EBITDA margins to remain in the range of 9%-9.5% at a standalone and consolidated levels for 2022. Our debt levels for KPTL standalone and JMC expected to remain similar levels at the end of March 2022. We expect order inflows to reach around 8,000 crores for KPTL and 12,000 crores for JMC for full year 2022, wherein at a consolidated level, we'll have order inflow of approximately 20,000 crores for the current year. The current operating environment remains challenging, with inflated input prices and competitive pressure. However, with a wide and diversified portfolio and extended international reach, we are comfortably placed to face the uncertainties. With that, we can open up the call for questions.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Swarnim Maheshwari from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir, and good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Sir, a couple of questions, sir. First one is, you know, you had mentioned this, that there was a strategic shift in dispatches. Can you please elaborate on that? Is it related to the owing to change in the or volatile commodity prices? What is it really?
You know, strategic shift primarily has three components. You know, the first biggest component is freight prices and availability of containers, right? I think that's a big shift from international perspective, you know, because freight prices, as all of us know, are at record high, and sometimes availability of containers is itself becoming a challenge. A lot of our clients have come back and you know, extended our delivery period because they can see that it's a global issue, not driven by any individual company. That's a key reason for a strategic shift. Second, on projects where we know that, you know, on EPC projects that, you know, the site requires it much later than now, we have slightly shifted deliveries to make sure that at least, if at all, we can catch the commodity cycle at the right time. But that's not significant. The significant portion is because of the freight cost and the availability of containers.
Okay. So basically, this is specifically with respect to the international projects. But how about the domestic projects? Are we facing similar kind of issues, or is it much better at the domestic level now?
So as far as the domestic projects are concerned, I think delivery is on routine, except that, you know, some of our projects we've seen stoppages, primarily some of our projects in Rajasthan and in January, primarily on account of some environment issues, which is beyond our control. But otherwise, domestic projects has been very robust. I think they have delivered on what they had budgeted for 9 months level. So not many delays as far as the domestic projects are concerned.
Right. And sir, just one related question with this one. So are we still maintaining 5 to 10% revenue growth guidance given our 9 months is at -5%?
So I think we are changing our revenue guidance for a standalone company. We do not believe that we will be growing in the current year. There's a likelihood that there could be some degrowth for the current year as a whole at a standalone level. Although at a console level, we continue to be confident of a double-digit growth. But at a standalone level, where we are today, it does not seem likely that we would have a growth for the current year. But at the same time, given the visibility of order book, given the L1 position, things are looking much better from our next.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected to the line for the speaker dropped. Participants, please stay connected while the region is moving back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the speaker reconnected. So you can go ahead.
Extremely sorry, everyone. The line just got disconnected. As I was saying, that at a standalone level, growth looks difficult for the current year. But given the order book visibility, things have started looking better from a next year perspective. Although our biggest challenge continues to be the volatility in commodity prices. And that's something which is completely beyond our expectations as well as beyond our own benchmarks of where things could be.
Sir, sorry to interrupt you. Sir, your voice is coming slightly distorted.
Is that clear now?
Sir, no, it's still not clear. Let me reconnect your line. Participants, please stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. Sir, you're reconnected.
Sure, I'm extremely sorry. Some problems with the connection. Swanim, did you hear my response? Or
yeah, sir. No, sir. You got your comments on that one. So thanks for that. My other question quickly is actually on the bidding process. If you just see on the transmission booth side, I think you have mentioned that you will be actively participating in the bids and also just wanted to understand how is the bidding environment over there, because we have seen a couple of new entrants in that sector, and also what will be our average ticket size that we are targeting in this segment.
So Swanim, on the transmission side, if I divide this into domestic and international, right, let me first start with visibility. As far as visibility is concerned, over the last few months, we've seen a lot many tenders being rolled out by the state government at a domestic level, by the central government at a domestic level. Whether it's on TBCB, whether it's on PGCIL getting, some of the large lines on North India, whether it's on state level utilities. So at least on a transmission side, after long, I believe that transmission domestic will start seeing reasonably good growth getting into next year, both on order flows as well as revenue. As far as international is concerned, I think, we had our own challenges of not being able to bid for a lot of World Bank and funded projects till October. We're out of it completely now and started bidding. And as you can see, significant portion of our L1 position today is on transmission international only. Maybe around 80% of our L1 is transmission international. As far as competition is concerned, I think it's the same 6, 7, 8 players on majority of the large projects. On smaller projects, although at times we see 10-12 people coming in. But competition continues to be at similar level. It is healthy competition. It's not as bad as some of the other segments where you are even seeing 25 to 30 players coming in. But as far as transmission is concerned, I think we continue to see 7-8 players only.
I've got it, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. I have a couple of more questions. I'll come back into. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Parikshit from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first question is on GMC. So just wanted to understand, we have seen robust order inflows, but the execution seems to be still lacking. Any update on there? If you can highlight what is the contribution of the JJM orders in the order book and how much has been the execution in the 9 months and the third quarter? So that's my first question.
Okay. So good morning, Parikshit.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah. So out of this, about 40% or 35 to 40% order book pertains to water. And out of that, so you know the whole maximum water thirst in the country is driven by through the JJMs only, right? And out of that, about 75 to 80% is driven by JJM, and the rest is the irrigation project, which are basically other than the JJM. So to answer your question, it is about 80% is through the JJM. Yes, there is a small, about 5% portfolio, which comes from the international. We are doing a couple of schemes in Maldives. Right. So JJM weightage remains still heavy, and this is where the government is bullish. And we can see next 4 or 5 years, good investment coming in the JJM schemes all across the all states in the country.
My question was, how much of this order book has been executed in the 9 months of FY22 and the third quarter of FY22?
Your question is specific to the water?
Yeah, for JJM specifically, because there has been delays getting the DPRs and all in place. I just wanted to understand, is it because of these orders constituting large part of water book but still not contributing substantially to the order, to the execution? So just wanted some sense there.
No, so I think the situation is contrary to what you are saying. Our maximum, so compared to the last year, we did about 700 crore in the water business. This year we are doing 1800 crore. There is almost 200% or more than that, the jump is there. And maximum of this execution is coming from the JJM only. There are pockets of the JJM where there is a delay, but there are states like Orissa, states like Jharkhand, where the execution is quite fast. There is a tremendous momentum building up in UP, which is currently little dissipated due to the elections. But so I think execution is on the track in all our JJM projects. If you ask the delay side, as such, the water projects, there is a general traction delay because the government level, the mindset to drive these projects, some of the state governments, they are very strong, like Orissa, and places like UP, they are building up the momentum, and we will see the execution coming forward in the Q4 and the next year.
Okay, sure. So my second question is on the BOT portfolio, the road. So I think we are now out of the power transmission asset. But on the BOT roads, if you can update what's the status there and how, any update on the restructuring and monetization of these projects, if you can just update us.
Right. So we can go asset-wise. KEPL, which was our largest asset in joint venture with Shrey, that we have terminated after 1 year of farmer agitation, during which the toll plazas were closed and there was no revenue. And as per the contract, we were entitled to do so. We have terminated, and now we are working with the NHAI on the compensation and the termination payments, which I think in next 2 quarters, we will be able to resolve this major part of the problem as far as the bankers are concerned. And we will be also pursuing the uncompensated claim which will arise to recover the equity. This is as far as the KEPL is concerned. But this Also, as you can see, this quarter we have provided 88 crore anticipating future liabilities which will arise in KEPL. Coming to the WEPL, one more thing, as you are aware, in case of KEPL, we are already pursuing arbitration with NHAI on the breach of their covenant on the diversion, making the alternate roads around the project. Coming to the WEPL, here also you will see some spurt in the revenue, but this is all seasonal. Here also, the project, we do not see much upside in terms of the revenue. But on the restructuring side, we have moved well, and we expect to complete the restructuring of WEPL by March, which will definitely insulate us from the cash outflow next year. Coming to BBEPL, this remains a neutral project, so there is hardly any impact on the overall cash outflow or the revenue. VEPL, we are still in discussion with the investor to divest the asset. At the same time, this asset has a long tail of balance 23-24 years, and our debts are to be repaid in next four to five years. So we are also looking at the restructuring option. So overall, we can see that next year, the pressure from the overall GNC boot portfolio should come down, and it should come down to in terms of the building up the cash flow pressure or otherwise. And as the claims we are pursuing, they may start maturing maybe the next year onward, which will give a lot of relief to not only to the boot project, it will give the relief to overall GNC balance sheet.
Okay. This is the last thing, sir. Just a bit on the pledge. If you can just comment on the pledge and any plans to IPO the parent entity, Kalpathru Real Estate. So any color there? And if that happens, then how does the pledge thing work? If there are plans of doing the same.
So let me take that question. I think, you know, on a pledge perspective, the pledge has primarily not gone up or has not moved significantly because of any borrowings. The borrowings continue to be constrained. We've not seen the pledge come down as anticipated at the beginning of the year. But we believe that it should come down gradually during the current year, given that the sales of real estate have picked up reasonably well. That's what we've understood from the promoters. We might also not see anything major happening by March, but we expect slowly pledge to come down, you know, to reasonable levels over the next, over the first three quarters of the next year. As far as the second question about real estate for Kalpathru Limited IPO, I have no clue of that. You know, that's something which is completely with the KL management.
Okay, sir. Sure, sir. Those were my questions. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Manishji and Tripathiji. So I have a question first on this JMC. Sir, we have provided so far, first on this KEPL, 380 crore. So out of that, how much are that case outflow do we expect in case and if that will be there, then how do we, the claim will be the amount of the claim that which can really mesh those outflow. Second, sir, any investment during 9 months in our road BOT?
So Manishji, you are answering or shall I take up?
You can take that, just kidding.
So Bharat bhai, let us break your question in two parts. One is on the cash outflow side. I think as far as the KEPL is concerned, as we have taken a further impairment of 88 crores, this will cover any future exigency at in terms of the cash inflow to the project, at least for next one and a half years, right? And within that time, we expect to resolve the issue with NHAI, As far as the claims are concerned in KETL, as earlier also said, we have two claims which are going on. On one claim, we have an award of about 50 crore. Second claim is in the advanced stage of arbitration. Third claim, we will be lodging depending on the outcome of this termination payment, what they finally give us. Right. But to answer your question, we do not see a cash coming out of these claims in the near future because it is a long drawn process, 3 to 4 years. And that too, initially, if we have to take out the cash, we have to provide the BG. So we are really not looking at the direct cash inflow coming from these claims, right?
And how much will be the cash outflow out of these 380 crore that we may have to do?
So maximum has already gone. There will be nothing. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. So there will be nothing in this financial year, and in next two quarters also, we do not see any cash outflow going forward from in KEPL from anywhere.
Okay, and any investment during 9 months or this current year we expect other than this project in other BOT asset?
Other BOTs, whereby there will be, because the obligations on the VPL, Agra and Nagpur is continuous. So that will come. Also, some of the projects are going to come into the maintenance cycle, right? So some projects will go into the maintenance cycle. However, overall, next year, it should be in the range of 60 to 70 CR for the 22-23, overall investment in BOT.
And how much this year?
This year, we have already done how much? 113. We have already done 113 and some more will come in the Q4 because some projects we have to do the regular maintenance work.
Okay. Now, sir, coming to, on the JMC guidance for the current year and approximately next year, so what kind of a growth? Because we have already achieved 62% top line growth, so we were maintaining guidance of 20%. So do we expect a substantial decline in Q4?
So we do not expect a decline. Given the heavy order book, we don't expect any decline. Rather, the same momentum will continue in Q3 and
Q4.
And little dissipated momentum will continue next year, right? So we can expect even for the next year growth in the range of 10 to 15%.
And current year EBITDA margin, sir, because.
So currently we are at for the quarter at 9%. Overall, we are at 7.6%. We expect the year to close something closer to 9%. Because,
yeah. And next year?
Next year, it should be, so let us see, by the way, there is a lot of volatility in the market on the international side, logistics side, and the steel and cement, the commodity side. It's still, I think, given our order book, we should be in the range of 9 to 10% next year.
Okay. Now, last question for Manishji. Manishji, that in the renewable side, we are hearing that government is planning around 370 gigawatt in next 9-10 years, and the total amount investment is required around 2 lakh, tune of 30 lakh crore. So out of that, how much is our addressable market and how do we look at that business apart from what you said, good traction in the domestic T&D side?
So Bharatbhai, from a KPTL perspective, you know, the biggest benefit of all this investment comes into requirement of more lines and transmission and distribution, including substations.
Correct.
Right? So the Green Energy Corridor, the first one, a lot of orders have been placed. Seeing now a few large more tenders coming up and the huge plans at the government level to even connect, enhance the connectivity for Northeast as well as the North. So from that perspective, I think the visibility has significantly improved in the last 60 days with a lot of tenders, a lot of orders being floated by the government. And I personally, after long, have started believing that at least the transmission domestic space should start seeing growth again, and reasonably good growth. It's not that 2, 3, 4, 5% which we have seen for the last 3 years. Reasonably good growth.
Medium term perspective, sir, I mean, any...
So my view would be getting into next year, the transmission domestic, including the neighboring countries, should look at least 10%.
And I mean, over next 2, 3 year time frame, the kind of investment that government is planning on the renewable side.
So from a perspective of, if I look at different segments, transmission domestic, next 2, 3 years, growth has started looking good. Railways has been muted growth for the current year, at least on electrification. We're seeing a lot of tenders coming on expansion and metros and all of that. Oil and gas, things have started picking up. All the first 6 months, we've not booked many orders. But things have started picking up. We've bid for a lot of tenders. And we've just declared order also in our wins of, of Friday. So I think oil and gas should come back to track for a 10 to 15% growth getting into next year.
And international, sir?
So international continues to be a big thrust for us. And as I said earlier today also, we have an L1 position in excess of 3,000 plus crores on international. And we believe that would be a big area, both from a KPT in India perspective as well as from a Linjee Montage and Fasttel perspective.
And sir, last question, if I ask, I mean, EBITDA for full year KPTL, because I believe that Q4 will have a little, I mean, much better than the current run rate. So how do we expect full year EBITDA?
So Gurdwar, I think, it's becoming more and more difficult to start projecting EBITDA. Yes, our order book looks healthy, but that's as of a 31st December price. After 31st December, we have seen two hikes in steel already in the last 45 days. So right now I'm keeping the guidance limited to 9 to 10%. But if this volatility comes down or it at least stays stable, even if it does not come down, we should be targeting going back to the old days of a double-digit margin in the next year.
Okay, and all the best, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Swarnim Maheshwari from Edelweiss Securities. Please go in.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, now we intend to be debt-free. So we are right now at about 2,000 crores. Now, what are our, other strategic, projects that we actually plan to exit, and by what time do we intend to completely deleverage ourselves?
So I think, let me take this question from a larger group level. I think if you look at it, we have already declared a lot of our investment as non-coal earlier itself, right? We first said T&D and that's fully done. Road, one of them we have exited in terms of a termination. One of them we are in discussion with a large player for signing offers sooner than later. And one of them is getting into restructuring mode. Shubham Logistics also has been declared non-core. While the business continues to be cash positive and they would not need any support, but that's non-core for us. And I expect in the next few years, maybe not immediately, but sometimes in 23 or 24, we should look at either strategic investment or divestment in any other form in Shubham Logistics. As far as Indore is concerned, I think the project is nearly done. And 45% we have sold, we have good traction. We sold 7 odd flats in the Q3. And the target for Q4 is 9 to 10 flats, flats plus shops. So we expect Indore also all sales to happen in the current year and in the entire financial year. And we expect that by March 23, we should collect all our dues on Indore also, which is 300 plus crores. So from a strategic perspective, I think we continue to be focused on making sure that a lot of our non-core, technically non-core, investments get divested over the next 12 to 24 months.
Sir, I got that. If you can just help us quantify what kind of money do we expect from, from the sale of road assets from Indore and from SSL, that will be helpful.
So today it's going to be difficult to quantify on the SFL land and road assets, you know, because there's some discussions happening which are confidential in nature. But Indore, our investment is around 300 crores, and I believe that that entire amount we should definitely collect in the next 12 to 15 months. We do not expect any significant hits to come on Shubham because the markets look attractive there from a long-term perspective. Although short-term, we're seeing a lot of commodities move out of our warehouses because of the high prices and the commodity market. But from a long-term perspective, we've signed up for a couple of more PPPs. So we've signed up with Haryana in the Q3, and we expect a few other states in Q4 and Q1 of next year. So from overall business perspective, Shubham will continue to do well, and we don't expect any hits there. And Indore is what I told you in the range of 300+ crores.
So clearly, the heavy lifting has to be done by the road BOT assets, right?
Yeah, that is right. But strategically, we're moving in a direction. You know, I think everything takes time given the kind of, you know, headwinds we are into today. But hopefully, Q4, we should be able to at least make sure that the restructuring of one of the assets is done, and we might be pushing hard to see if we can reach an agreement in terms of the terms on the third asset to at least sign a non-binding offer in Q4. But that's something which depends on reaching an agreement in terms of terms. You know, because today, right now, what we're discussing is no more about value, but about terms. And at the current value, what we're discussing, we don't see a significant hit coming on that asset also.
Right. And just one related question. So do we expect to be net debt-free by, say, H1 FY23 or FY23? I mean, any timelines over there?
So I think we continue to be focused on keeping debt at minimal levels, you know, and we might not reach that target maybe by H1, but maybe by March 23, our debt should further come down. Unless we plan to do any strategic investments at a global level, which is nothing on the cards today. But otherwise, yes, you should see debt coming down gradually quarter on quarter over the next 4 to 5 quarters.
Got it. And sir, my other question was about the, you know, you were contemplating the merger of KPP and JMC, which actually could have yielded significant synergy. So, I mean, any updates over there?
So I think, Swarnim, as I've said earlier, we continue to focus on both the businesses as they are today. We continue to explore various structuring options which we have. We definitely believe that the synergies would help us in terms of improving margins and bidding for larger projects. But that's something which, you know, at an appropriate time, a call will be taken by the senior management and the boards of the two companies, if at all. Yeah, but as of today, I think we continue to focus on growth of both the companies from a long-term perspective.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyansh from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My questions are pertaining to GMC. So, sir, of late we've seen GMC projects bidding for road projects. So, is that, you know, that we are targeting on a serious note? And if yes, will it be restricted to EPC or we are looking at HAM projects or something of that sort as well?
So, Shreyansh, I think we have not done any bidding in the Indian road sector the last at least 1 year, except some strategic projects like some tunnels and all that. So
okay.
Currently, we are not looking at the EPC or HAM or BOT in India as far as the road is concerned.
Got it. So, my next question is pertaining to EBITDA margins. We were targeting roughly, you know, I mean, a double digit 10 to 11%, and now the guidance is at 9-10%. So, just wanted to understand what is it exactly, you know, that why is it being brought down?
So, if you look at last 1 year, it is full of the uncertainty, whether it is the commodity or the logistics. Most of the costs have gone up. And though our most of the contracts, they are having the escalation provision, but there is a 3 to 5 month lag between the indices and the actual prices. Right. So, you are right. Initially, we forecasted in the range of double digit. Now we are cautiously saying that in the range of at around 9%. But as I say, going forward, if these uncertainties, they settle down post-elections, and the so then we can see the numbers improving going forward next year.
Got it. Got it. So then a few bookkeeping questions from my side. Can you just let us know the CapEx number we've done for 9 months, and what is the target for this year and for next year?
About 100%. We have already done about 137, if I recollect, 137 crore or so.
Okay.
And by year end, it should be about 180, 185.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so for next year?
Next year, the CapEx, so it will be in the range of about 150 crore or so.
150, sure. And sir, what would be our order inflow guidance for FY 2023?
So 2023, having got this order book, next year we'll be focusing on stabilizing and the delivery of the projects rather than looking at the targeting any particular order book. But of course, we'll be depending on the opportunity, we can look at a number of about 6,000-7,000 crore.
6,000-7,000 crore. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and sir, one last question from my side. Are we eligible for Central Vista projects?
In the terms of the PQ size, we don't qualify. We are eligible, but we don't qualify.
Okay. Okay. So any plans to bid for that project?
Central Vista, yes. If we get the project of our appetite and our size, we'll definitely bid.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Okay, sir, that's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pooja Vimani from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, this is Tina Vimani from Kotak Securities. My question is more on the non-T&D segment. Like you mentioned that oil and gas is looking to pick up, and you may target around 10%-15% growth next year. But on a broader level, what kind of opportunities are coming up in this segment and even in the railways? Or like, how do you plan to grow the non-T&D segment for KPTL standalone in terms of what opportunities are you looking, and how do we see this growth panning out over next 2 to 3 years? And are there any new segments that you would be planning to add up in this if, for example, if, let's say, railways is electrification is little slower, or if oil and gas fail to kick off the way you are expecting? So are there any more incremental segments that you may want to add up in the non-T&D to grow this segment? This is my question.
Good morning, Tina.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Yeah, let me just, first answer your last question about saying that are we planning to add anything specific from a diversification perspective, oil and gas and railways? As I've said earlier, nothing on the cards right now, but we'll continue to explore anything within the value chain where we exist today, whether it's in manufacturing or design or specific project, specific skills. As far as oil and gas is concerned, we're seeing traction coming from all the large oil PSUs, whether it's GAIL, whether it is ONGC, whether it's IOCL, whether it is Gujarat Gas, whether it is private sector investment to some of the large players. And we started seeing that traction, and tenders have started coming in. Is one area for us. And the second area, which I had said earlier also, is the entire international market. Today, at KPTL, we qualify in a lot of markets in Middle East and Africa, even in oil and gas. And we have submitted a lot of tenders. We've not been lucky till now, or we've not been successful till now. But that's something which, is sooner than later. So from a larger perspective, I think we're looking at both. Domestic opportunities improving, and second, international, we should be able to click something sooner than later. And that's helping us keep that momentum of growth as far as oil and gas is concerned. As far as railways is concerned, electrification, yes, we've seen some slowdown and excessive competition coming in there. But again, on whether it is a metro electrification or whether it is broadening of the lines or new lines, we've seen some tenders coming in. Also, in railways, we had a very healthy order book. You know, if you look at it today, the railways order book is closer to 18 to 20 months, 21 months of delivery as of now. So we're more focused on closure of projects, making sure that, you know, we deliver on maximum projects what we've committed, and we'll start looking at rebuilding that order book. Even in railways, we're looking at the international segments in Africa, and we should be submitting a few tenders in the next 3 to 6 months. And that would again be an important area of growth for us from a long-term perspective.
So in railways, are we seeing or are we witnessing any kind of payment delays from railways?
So we see delays periodically, but on an overall basis, if you ask me on a 10-month basis, you know, we are fine. So sometimes some months, there are some payments which come delayed and all of that. But on a 10-month basis, you know, my railway business has thrown surplus cash and have not been a drag from a cash flow perspective.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. And my second question is related to provisioning, the way you did it last year for the expected increase in the commodity prices. Given the fact that prices are still moving up or they have stayed at higher levels, so do you expect any further provisioning by end of this year for the current set of order book for the next fiscal, or you would take it as and when it happens?
So, you know, as of now, from a CTP provisioning perspective, you know, we have a provision of approximately 145 crores on our books on 31st December. This is what we had started the year also at similar numbers. And besides that, in the last 9 months, we have actually incurred a cost in excess of 175 crores only on steel, aluminium, copper and freight increase. You know, so where we stand today looks good. But as I said earlier, you know, this is all a perspective at a given point of time. You know, 31st December looks good, but again, you've seen 2,000 rupees increase in the last month happening on steel. Right. So, yes, but the new order book which we're building, we're obviously keeping this cushion in mind. You know, saying that things don't look like coming down and this is the steel price we'll have to live with. So the newer order book would not have such kind of hits coming in. But the older order book still continues to bleed, and I think it will take us a few more quarters to get out of this old order book, given the delay happening across the board on freight and a few other things. And again, some of our projects in international which have stopped, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Myanmar, all of that.
Okay. Okay. So was there any provisioning made in the current quarter, in the December quarter?
So we've not made any provisioning additional. I think it's in the same. It's technically the provisioning as of my first April continues as of now, and whatever we have incurred is all being booked as a cost.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. My last question is on GMC. I might have missed out on the comment. Are we expecting any kind of incremental write-off on GMC, or for Kurukshetra it is largely done, taking into account any future future exceptional item?
Yeah, so SKT here. So as far as the KTL is concerned, we have already done, we have taken write-off of 86 crore this quarter. And this is also anticipating some liabilities which may arise in the 2 or 3 quarters.
So beyond 2-3 quarters, you may not expect any further write-off on the same.
Right.
And for the other road projects, is any such thing expected, or it will depend on how restructuring and the stake sale pans out?
So we do not expect anything major write-off there, and also it depends how the... So if the restructuring goes, we are on WEPL, we do not expect anything to happen there in the near future. And other two assets anyway, they are self-sustaining currently. So we do not see any major write-off coming on these three leftover projects.
Okay, got it, sir. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ranjit from Mahindra Manulife Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning. couple of things, like one of our competitors have recently entered into this oil and gas pipeline space. So are you seeing an impact in your market share in that segment? So is that something that you have to rework on? What's your strategy there?
So good morning, Manji. I know the specific question, what you're asking. So from a competitive perspective, healthy competition is always good, because the company they acquired was always in competition. So it's not that there's a new player which has come in. And you know, when there's a reputed player which comes in, who has reasonable margin projections and who has more long-term view, it's always good to have healthy competition. Do we expect a lot of things to change from our own perspective? I don't think so. Because the kind of pre-qualifications we have, the kind of asset base we have, the kind of team we have built over the last 10 years, I think it's going to take a lot of time for any new player to do it over a shorter or even a medium time frame. And again, our focus on the international market is something which will help us grow much faster from a long-term perspective. So have we changed any of our projections or plans because of competitive pressure? My answer is no, I don't think we've changed anything.
Okay, and again, when I look at your growth, if I adjust it for the inflation portion, it seems to be a pretty challenging or in terms of a declining trend. So what's your view, like how do you want to address this, and is there something which we are getting back into our thinking hat and trying to address this growth concern?
So I think, you know, from a growth perspective, yes, it's been a challenging year, right? And there's a lot of factors for it. Some internal, some external, and a mix of, things beyond our control. So clearly, order book wasn't growing for the last 12 to 15 months, right? And that would have impacted growth at a standalone level at some point of time, which we are seeing immediately now itself. Order book inflow was impacted because of delays in orders, because of our own World Bank issues and a few other things. So, and because of the volatility, because at some point of time, we're not sure how we built in the volatility. Based on introspect, it looks good, but we did not wait a few projects which we lost closely, because steel would have further hit significantly in the last 6 months. So you can't hit steel. But while I say so, you know, that's the reality we'll have to live with. So yes, growth has been a challenge, but given the visibility of L1 orders, given that we are now allowed to bid on every kind of project across the globe, given the enhanced visibility of some of our international subsidiaries, and given the new targeted orders coming from transmission domestic, our personal view is that we should be getting back into the growth mode next year. How much would be the exact growth as far as standalone is concerned, we'll have to come back to you in our next call, but at a consolidated level, definitely we'll continue to be growing at a double-digit percentage even next year.
Sir, even if it's a double-digit, the commodities are increased by 15% to 20%. So still in a volume terms, it's still a flat. So that's what I'm trying to understand.
No, sir, you're right. In the first 9 months, it's been a drag on everything. On physical output, on plant manufacturing, on dispatches, on site, everything. But from here onwards, even for adjusting for the inflation, we expect commodity inflation not to continue at the same 15-20% levels. Adjusting for minimal inflation, you should see some reasonable growth coming into the next year, not definitely in the current quarter.
And our order intake, I just missed what previously we were looking at 9,000 crore. So is that number still valid, or you are cutting it down?
So at a standalone level, we are reducing our order intake target to around 8,000 crores. At a consolidated level, we are committing at around 20,000 crores. We are at around 14,000 plus, and including L1, we are at closer to 20,000. So at a standalone, we are cutting our guidance to 8,000 crores, which is what the L1 positions we have, which we believe should all get concluded by 31st March.
And this is largely due to the domestic T&D which are getting delayed.
Yes. So significant, I think it's across a lot of segments. Even railways, as I said earlier, we've not seen a lot of traction, and even where we have seen, there's been huge competition. T&D, the domestic, yes, tenders have got delayed, but now we see a lot of tenders coming in. International, we are back to growth, and that's something which is going to help us in a big way going forward.
Okay. And regarding the percentage of fixed price contracts in our order book, how much will that be?
So as of today, our fixed price order book at a KPTL standalone level is around 70%. Whereas for JMC, the fixed price order book is less than 10%. So on a consolidated basis, our fixed price is lower than 50%. But standalone KPTL, the fixed price is around 70%.
Okay, so that will be a challenge for us to negotiate next two quarters till the commodity prices normalize.
True, true, but that's the nature of a segment, because today you don't have any tenders coming in our core businesses except railway, in both in TLD, TLI, as well as international, which are variable in nature. There are no tenders there. So what you have to do is load that into your cost to at the time of tendering and assume that the same headwinds don't continue in the future.
Okay, but don't we do this back-to-back ordering and... doesn't that help us in arresting these gross margin, or it doesn't work over?
So as far as aluminium and copper and currency is concerned, you can hedge there. You can hedge your future requirements. But as far as steel is concerned, there are no hedging mechanism except for keeping high inventory, but you can't keep inventory beyond the point, right? Because you need space, you need investment, all of that. But otherwise, there's no form of hedging your exposure on steel.
Okay. Okay, sir. All the best. Hopefully things normalize.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Lano Parikshit from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. My question is on KEPL. So is it for all practical purposes now this asset has been handed over to NHAI after the independent engineer's report, and we are not servicing anything, any debt, any loss funding. So as of now, we are nothing to do with this project.
Right. Except that we have to travel the journey with the bankers and get them their debt due from the NHAI, and also take the required contractual action with the NHAI, depending on the outcome, how much they repay to the bankers.
And who is servicing now? NHAI servicing this debt?
No. So there is once it is terminated, NHAI has an obligation to pay the debt due as per concession. So there is no servicing as such. But NHAI has informed to the bankers also that they are in the process of working out this amount and settling it.
So this quarter's write-off of 87 crores, it's a non-cash write-off or it's a cash write-off? I mean, you have to pay this much money as cash, which I have.
It is a non-cash item.
Okay. But you have incurred, is the understanding right that for 48 crores expected credit loss, you have, that is a loss funding you have done on this project for this year until now?
That's right.
Okay. So 48 crores loss funding you have done. So out of the 113 crores odd which you are expecting for this FY22, so if you can give a broad breakup of that, how much goes into Kurukshetra and how much in other projects?
Just a minute. You have that.
Yeah.
So about 59 crore has gone into KPS.
Okay.
39 crore in VEPL and about 15 crore in WEPL.
And next crore, how do we see this number? You said about 60 to 70 crores will be incurred on this. So how will be the split be for 60 to 70 crores?
No, repeat your question.
So you said for next year, we are expecting a loss funding of about 60 to 70 crores to continue versus our earlier number of about 10 crores, which you had guided that after the restructuring and monetization, we may have the losses will get curtailed to closer to zero. But now again, you are saying 60 to 70 crores of loss funding may need to be incurred in the next financial year, FY23. So just wanted to know why that difference is coming now again. I mean, we are coming back to historical levels of loss funding. And if you also can give a breakup of which project this loss funding will be incurred on.
Right. So WEPL, we are going through the restructuring. So there, what we have funded 15 crore in terms of the servicing the debt and all that obligation will come down. But there will be requirement of a maintenance cycle on WEPL, which we have to fund. Right. So there will be some cash funding requirement on WEPL for the asset maintenance. Coming back to VEPL, this year we have done 39 crore. There also the either the divestment or the refinancing will bring down the obligation of paying the funding for the debt. But at the same time, there also we are expecting some requirement for the maintenance cycle, maybe 15 to 20 crore or so. VEPL anyway, there won't be any requirement. So, and BBEPL, there will be a requirement of maintenance cycle up to the tune of about 10 crore or so. So, out of the 60 to 70 crore what I am saying next year will be majority of it for the maintenance of the assets or for the, and a part of that will be major maintenance, a substantial part of it, because all these assets are now 7 to 8 years old and they are they have to go through the cycle of maintenance.
Yeah, so that was my next question. So you said all these three, which is 60 to 70 crores, is largely going into MMR and not into like debt servicing or debt shortfall, right?
That's right.
So FY24, these should not reoccur. I mean, these will be incurred in FY23, so that should not come back on FY24. Then. Maybe after 5-6 years, maybe then again we have to incur MMR. But for FY24, we are not seeing any significant loss funding for these residual assets.
Right. And by that time, I think there will be other developments as far as the WEPL is concerned. We can see that there could be some six laning option on those assets NHAI is considering. BEPL will go under four laning, is expected to go in next one and a half years. So there could be more developments on these going forward.
Okay, and if this extension happens, so we'll look to retain it or we'll give it back to NHA?
No, we'll give it back. I think we don't intend to
give it. And just last thing, sir, so as per the contractual obligations with NHAI, so I understand that you have invested close to about 98 or 100 crores as pure equity, which was as per the in KEPL as per the concession agreement signed. So what kind of termination payment you're expecting? If you can highlight on that, and also how much of the claims you would have filed till now in this project.
So KEPL, we already have an award of 55 crore, which is already in the court, and by providing the BG, we can take the money. So this is the claim number one, which is already award is in our favor. The second claim which we have lodged is for about 910 crore. This is for the breach of NHAI for construction of parallel roads. This arbitration is in advanced stage and we can expect award in 22-23, Q3-Q4. Third claim will be lodging, depending on, as I said earlier in the call, that NHAI, though concession obligation is very clear, NHAI has to pay the debt due. 100% debt due they have to pay to the banker and the adjusted equity, right? Now, knowing NHAI, they will definitely do the hair splitting, read in between the lines, increase the maintenance obligation because while exiting the asset, all kind of such pressures will come. Depending on what we get, we will be lodging another claim to recover the full equity, which we have invested in the project, because this is what we are entitled to. But it will not come straight away. It will come through the contractual and the legal process only.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everyone for participating in the call, and would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call, and wishing you all the very best for the upcoming quarters. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.